This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is for the players, the pop culture PlayStation podcast. Almost 40 years of playing PlayStation and five, almost 6 years now, combined in the games media. We thought we'd throw a hat into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
If you would also like to join that PlayStation conversation, you can do so every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, iTunes, and other podcast services. How do you join that conversation? Please head over to www.thepopculturist.com/questions. Give us your questions, thoughts, and suggestions for the show. If a week between shows is too long, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, and please consider joining us on Patreon. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
Don't forget, popcultures.com is now live. You want to see some cool shit.
In development for like 8 months.
Yeah, unnecessarily.
It's 95 developed 7.5 months ago.
The hard work was done way, way back in the day.
We are just pieces of shit.
And big time.
Yeah.
Hey, man. It's cracking.
I'm fucking fired up. You're not.
Oh, I'm feeling flat.
Yeah,
I can tell. A bit tired, yeah.
I can tell when I walk in the door. I either get a hey.
Yeah,
I did. And if it's an A, I know we're going to have a good energy episode. If it's an A, okay. Yeah. We're going to struggle for the next hour.
Yeah, it was baby sleeps. Yeah. And we experienced our first ever toddler night.
Oh, yeah?
Where we lay there, he climbs over us and then lays down.
Yeah.
Fuck yes. And he's like,
gets up.
Woo! And then like climbs away. Like, you're clearly tired, dude. Like, lie down, go to...
Just get, because they realize that, you know, they rest for 30 seconds and their energy reserve goes up just a little bit. And they're like, let's expel that.
Yeah.
And they do it again. Fun times ahead, man.
You know what we did though? So I'm like, I
cable tied him to the bed.
Yeah. See, James does more watch a lot of TV.
Yeah.
We have the TV on, but we don't really like go, hey, sit, watch this.
Sit and shut up.
Yeah. So like for him, TV is kind of stillish, newish, you know, even like a year old. So I laid him down. I'm like, look, lay on your side. Here's my phone. Watch YouTube. And we watch Boogie 2988. And he's out.
It's fucking boring.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, that guy's it's nice and soft and subtle.
Yeah, he looks real cuddly.
It's like Craig.
You know what's not cuddly?
What?
War.
No. So to jump into what we've been playing, mine's pretty simple, man. I've been playing Call of Duty World at War 2.
World at War 2.
World at War 2.
I didn't know
it's
that happened.
Technically kind
didn't
of
know
what
Treyarch
it is.
Was still doing that.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of what it is. No, but Call of Duty World War 2.
Yeah, me too, man. Yeah. I mean, I've dabbled in... Got Doom on the Switch, thanks to Bethesda. Much appreciated for that. I've been working flat out the last couple of days, so I haven't played it too much, but it's enjoyable so far. Bedtime game.
See, my this is our view. Once again, we come into the show. Like this is our PlayStation show, but it's also sort of our gaming show. So sometimes it does cross over the lines. Mm. How does it go with the Joy-Cons? Like, my concern is, same as the Vita, like those little thumbsticks just don't have the finesse.
No, the Joy-Cons were fine. I was actually having trouble with the triggers instead, because they're small triggers. They don't have a lot of push behind them. They're more like button pushes
It's a click rather than a...
Yeah, there's no give in it. You know, with the DualShock 2, 3, 4, whatever, how you can push it down a little bit before anything actually... Like, it's got a lot of leeway in it, whereas the Joy-Con is a click.
Blam!
I wasn't feeling it at first. I was like, oh, this just isn't working for me. But it's one of those... it was weird playing an FPS not on a DualShock. I think that was a mental hurdle I had to get over. It's fine. It runs fine. Looks good. Looks fucking awesome, actually.
Yeah, because, like, we're not going to play this docked at all. That's the whole point.
No. I'd never play my Switch docked.
Yeah,
got Breath of the Wild, like, when I bought it. I'm like, cool, let's try this dock thing. Ah, that's cool. I haven't put it in the dock to charge. Yeah, sure, but I haven't played it in the dock.
No, I mean, like, because, like, if we wanted to play it on the TV, we'd play it on the PS4. Like,
well, yeah, exactly.
So the whole, my one sort of, when the code came through, I'm like, here it is, Josh. Like, one rule, don't dock it. Just play it portable. We want to get this out the best we can.
No, it's fine. It's running well. Looks good. I'm not deep into that. You know, everyone's like, it's a very fast-paced game, and, you know, you need to have, like, high FPS to really feel it, and, like, I've never been that guy. So, for me, it plays fine. It's running fine. Enjoying it. It's cool.
Because did you spend a lot of time with old-school Dooms?
Not old-school Dooms, no.
I mean, by old-school, I mean, like, the one, like, 2 years ago?
What, on the PS4?
Yeah, that one.
I had it on PS4. I got about halfway through, and I just felt too much stuff come out, fell off. that's where the handheld benefit comes in, is because, you know, when the kids come over and they hold the TV, I can still play it.
Yeah.
You know.
And the thing is, a beast, 22 gigs. That's like more than the actual Switch storage.
Yeah, I know.
With all the iOS.
I must have bought a memory card when I bought the Switch, because I had like a 64 gig card in there with nothing on it. So it's cool.
Yeah, because I messaged you. I'm like, hey,
We got the code, but
can you check this thing before I send it your way? And he's like, yeah, we're cool.
Yeah, no, it's fine. But yeah, COD. It's COD, but it's awesome.
I've always had that COD itch, right? Like every year I always get it, and
every year on the lead up it's like nah, and then it comes out it's like fuck. I'm in the car to
like
go.
I end up picking it up. Like I've picked up the last three or four. So, you know, Infinite Warfare didn't do it for me. Picked it up like $20. Didn't do it for me. Black Ops 3 sort of did it for me because I like Black Ops, but at the same time, it also didn't do it for me.
It went too far with. Like, that's the thing, is because...
And some Advanced Warfare didn't, brother.
Call of Duty has always hinged on that realism to it. Mm. And when you start adding in jetpacks and suits and, you know, abilities and, you know, like the Graviton spikes that dude had in Black Ops 3 and all that kind of stuff, it's when it starts to, like, go into a different territory.
Yeah.
Not the kind of COD that I enjoy.
And, like, because I don't have the, the finesse or, like, the... Twitch is there. I don't have that Twitch capability to be like,
to wall run, glide off, shoot, hit the other wall. And, yeah,
like, I got none of them. I got none of them skills.
Yeah.
So for me, like playing this, going like there's no
boots to the ground.
Boots to the ground. Like, everyone fucking says it because it is. And yeah, you're like, there's no fancy shit. It's running. Like, it's exactly the reason that I was so tempted to pick up the Call of Duty 4 remaster.
Mm.
I still haven't done yet, but I'm not going to need to now because this is the one I wanted. Yeah. Like, World at War was my jam. Like, that is my favorite Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And this is giving me the exact same oomph.
Yeah.
There's new additions in the multiplayer. There's, obviously, standard team deathmatch, your kill confirmed. Oh, and it turns out the reason we're having super matchmaking problems last night, the latest patch kind of just fucked everyone over. Everyone.
The one time we actually get to sit down and play a game together,
matchmaking's
fucked.
Yeah, effed. So they've got the standard kill confirmed, team deathmatch, hardpoint, all those sort of ones.
Domination, free for all.
There's a new one. I don't know whether this has been in any of the previous ones because I didn't really dive too hard in the other ones, but there's that gridiron.
That's fucking awesome.
So gridiron
is so much fun.
Oh, you sell it. Tell us what's it.
Well, gridiron is it's gridiron. So think capture the flag, but instead of a flag, you've got goals on enemy sides. Ball drops in the middle. You run through. You pick up the ball, and you can either lob it or run it into the enemy's goals. It's that simple, yeah. Thing is, when you got the ball, you can't shoot. You can't do anything.
You can punch, motherfucker.
You can punch people like basketball to the face. Boom. But what you can do, because my kid Alex was playing it just against bots. If someone comes around the corner, you can throw the ball and they auto catch it, and then you can fucking shoot them.
Ooh.
And then pick the ball back up and keep going, yeah? So you can throw, it's auto catching, yeah?
Yeah.
So you can throw it to the enemy players and they auto catch it, and then you can fuck them up. But you can throw it to teammates and stuff like that. We're playing split screen against bots, and he's running up there to score the goal, and he gets near the goals. And there's like three guys there. He's like, Dad, I'm going to die. So he lobs the ball back at me. I catch it and I like jump off the building and go, it's so much fun. And you still get, you know, regular, if you play online, you get all your experience and, you know, you unlock all your shit and all that. It's just dumb fun, because something about playing Gridiron doesn't make you take it as seriously as you do like playing the other modes, where I tend to get quite a bit frustrated if I'm having a bad match and stuff. But Gridiron, if I keep dying, it doesn't matter because I don't know, it feels different. It's
See, awesome. Like as someone that's, you know, not all that really rad at the old kills, this gives me different motivation.
Yeah.
Like, it allows me to be like, okay, I may not be able to kill 40, 50 people in a match, but I can help get that ball closer to the end.
Yeah.
Or I can get touchdowns. Like, there was one game where I was the only person that scored.
Yeah. You know, or you can kill the enemy as they're trying to get a touchdown in that way. There's different ways you can feel like you've contributed to the match.
Because the only way to win the match is, like, the kills don't count. Like, it tells you how many you've killed, but it doesn't count the score. So it's all about getting the touchdowns or the tries. That one of the best things. I was really disappointed because I was running and three dudes, and I've just jumped and I've just lobbed it.
Yeah.
bing. Boo. It's like 3 points though.
Yeah.
And I was, if you run it in, it's just like touchdowns. Yeah, 7 points. So yeah, I was like, what 3 points?
Better than no points. Like,
better than no points.
Multiplayer is fun. It's just regular. It's, you know, regular old Call of Duty, but you know, you got your loot boxes and stuff, which I found a bit disappointing. Like the stuff you get in there, I'm like, meh.
But what the loot boxes that I've dealt with right now, they are purely cosmetic. So contrary to what everyone's bitching and whinging about, they are purely cosmetic. Yeah. They're like, hey, here's 48 different skins for your pistol. Here's some calling cards. Here's some emblems. Yeah. As of yet, I've not found anything that actively changes how I play.
No, and it's all like gun skins and stuff like that, but none of it is exciting is what I'm getting at. I'm not excited to open up loot box because I've got like 20 skins for one pistol that just changes the handle, and when you're playing the game, you're holding it so you don't see it anyway. Mm. Like, there's nothing I'm excited to open from, except for emotes. I like some of the emotes that I've gotten from it. Like, Nazi Zombies is cool.
Oh, yeah, make sure to, before we jump into Nazi Zombies, we should also mention War, which is newest mode for multiplayer. Mm. It's very similar to Battlefield's Conquest. The whole idea of there's a, you know, like a, essentially like a long hallway sort of setup, and you know one's pushing forward and you've got to keep pushing back. It's unlimited lives, but it's all timed. It's just like keep doing it. It's a big game of tug of war.
Yeah, like one of them, you know, you got to escort the tanks to the first point, and then you got to get fuel for them, then you got to get them to the next point, whereas the enemy team is trying to halt the tanks and blow up the bridge before you can get over there. Mm. It's cool. It's fun.
I love it. I like the fact that that it is literally like there's unlimited lives and you just go.
Yeah,
you just go. Like it just adds that nice frenetic to it, because you know it's all time, so it's like there's that pressure, but it's not the pressure of can you get the most kills, it's just can we all collectively get objective, because Call of Duty is primarily a very solo focused multiplayer. You can be in a squad with your buddies, but you're all gonna fuck off and do it, whatever. Mm. Where Battlefield is literally, we're a squad, you work best if the four of you play together, you play your roles and you play it smart.
Yeah.
And this kind of puts it in the halfway point.
Well, they're designed in a way that you can still go off and be by yourself, but still contribute to the to doing whatever the objective is.
Yeah, and like, but at the same point, if with the war mode, if you and a buddy are standing behind a tank pushing that tank forward, you've got either sides. If it's just you, or you know, there's benefits of being a team in that mode.
So, I fucking hate multiplayer, but I love it at the same time.
Yeah, I'm enjoying this so much, and Nazi Zombies is great.
This is going on really long.
Nah, fuck it. I'm enjoying it. It's the only game I played this week.
It's so hot in here.
Shut up.
Yeah, Nazi Zombies is cool. I played it with my kid when I got it.
Brutal.
It's fucking brutal.
Yeah.
It's fucking brutal.
It's horrifying. Like, some of those zombies are horrifying to look at.
Yeah, it looks great. You know, the zombies in previous games were never like visually kind of scary. It was more the atmosphere that was making it intense. You know, they're breaking in, they're going to overwhelm me and stuff. But these ones look fucked up. And it's like, don't fucking come near me. You got like four classes you can pick from with different abilities.
Yeah, Dev Tenet. I picked every time.
So this is where you can get, this is where it goes a little bit outside of Call of Duty boots to the ground, where you get abilities and stuff. Like, one of them can go invisible, so zombies don't target you for a while. The other one can like taunt all the zombies, but like but they do double damage for that duration.
One's like infinite ammo for a small period of time.
Yeah. And you know, it's cool. I think I got to like round 7.
Yeah.
But it's rad. It's
We played on. We did the stream on Wednesday. Yeah. You know, sadly couldn't make it.
Yeah.
And it sadly got cut short by me too.
We just weren't meant to stream.
We had a great
Wednesday.
Night.
We had
on
a
Wednesday.
Shitty day.
Fuck.
On Wednesday.
So I had Pinch, one of our regular contributors, one of our Patreon supporters. You know, pretty much carried me to like 18 rounds.
Oh, he was playing with you.
And I got obliterated.
That's awesome. That's not awesome. Thanks, Pinch.
And quickly, I'll touch on the campaign as well. I played a little bit last night and a little bit this morning. It opens with D-Day, you know, Normandy Beach, the stock standard World War II thing. It's very interesting, actually. As I said before we started, like the fidelity of the game, because the campaign looks fucking schmick, right? Schmick. Mm. It adds this extra oomph to it. Because in my head, I remember playing it when I was like, what? Fucking, would have been
13,
18, 19, like World at War, because that's what I played on PS3. And then that's excluding any of the PS2 ones. That's excluding the original Medal of Honor on PS1. Like, in my head, it always looked like rat shit. Mm. But with here, having all just the better quality sound, the better quality visuals, just like the particle effects, like that beach blows the fuck up.
So, do you enjoy like bayonetting some dude and like shredding his inside? It reminds me of like Tropic Thunder. It's like, yeah. Oh, what is this? And he's just like mashing the bayonet around in there. So, is it like when you could play GTA 5 in like first person, it added that extra level of like.
Like, I feel actively uneasy.
Yeah.
In like, not in like a kind of, you know, it's. Being older as well has changed my sort of sensibilities in life. So I'm looking at this going, this really fucking happened. And then I was in the boat and like the, cause it doesn't just, you don't just start on the boat. Like you start in the bowels of the big ass fucking freighter, chatting to your buddies and then you all walk out.
And then
you,
they're all dead.
You all, yep. You chat to this, like this, like hundreds of people in this little like sleeping quarters, right?
Yeah.
And you will walk out, you'll climb down into the boats and all your boats. And like the whole time you can look around and you can see the hundreds of boats.
You can see what's going on, all the preparation.
Yeah, you can see all the hundreds of boats and like you get this big pep speech at the start from one of the captains or the colonels or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's just and like when shit goes down, like it's kind of quiet, and then as you sort of get into range of all the machine guns, they just start unloading on you. Obviously, which is, you know, pretty much what happened.
Yeah.
And then you have to drop. Like, so you know, in the previous ones, you would just hide there and you could look around. Like, you have to drop.
Yeah.
Like, so you're like bunkered down in this boat. It's like ting ting ting. Like everyone's dying around you. Literally, no one survives.
So it's like you're playing through the opening scene of Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah. So there's you and one other person that survives that opening boat.
Yeah.
And it's brutal. Like once that thing drops, and then you have to bail off the side. And like, because rather than just gun rushing it to the front, like you have to, you know, time it with the reloads and just sort of be somewhat smart about it.
That's interesting. Yeah, I haven't touched the campaign yet. But yeah, no, I've been meaning to, you know, start it and give it a go at least.
Yeah, and it's like really gnarly. And then on top of today being, you know, Remembrance Day, the day we're playing it, I was like, wow, this is fucking real.
Yeah.
You know, because like I had that harrowing moment of as I'm doing it, I'm like, man, what would I do if I was in this boat? I'm like, I wouldn't have made it because I would have I wouldn't let me on because I would have shit myself before I even got there.
Oh, there was so much shit in that water.
Yeah, like it's just.
Yeah.
It was really confronting looking at it in a different way and just be like taking, you know, being older and having a bit more
life experience
and understanding
plus of having a kid
and mortality, like yeah,
like how many of those kids on the boats had kids,
yeah, or were kids,
yeah.
Oh, and there's a really interesting moment actually. Well, we'll jump into this game's actually blown me out of the way, like in a really good way, like way better than I thought it was going to be. I guess having low expectations coming into Call of Duty really helped make this much better. Yeah, but heading into like the second mission in the campaign, you drive past this blown up Nazi like town, like trucks and cars and stuff there. And one of the guys makes a comment, he's like, yeah, and like, dude, they're civilians, man.
Mm.
And like there's a weird conversation. It's like, yeah, well, not all of them are like Nazis, man. Like,
yeah.
And like they like actually had an active conversation. The guy's like, yeah, but they're fucking, you know, they're whatever.
But they're fucking German.
Yeah, whatever they're saying is, they're like, dude, like, these guys aren't Nazis. These guys are just civilians. And like, you know, don't forget, Germany's done some cool shit, like Mozart, electron microscope. Like, and they list all these things, and you're like, yeah, it's a good fucking point. Yeah. Like, it's not like,
so
it's a little on the nose, but I kind
of
like it.
Paints it in a little bit of a different way than Wolfenstein does.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas Wolfenstein just going, fuck everybody up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. That's very nice.
That's enough talking about Call of Duty.
Yeah, I'll have to timestamp that.
This is the new Call of Duty podcast. Head into the news where we inform the players, not about Call of Duty, but about what happened this week in PlayStation and gamings.
Got 8 bits of news today. Number 1, Respawn Entertainment, the studio behind the Titanfall franchise, is being bought by EA. Both companies are already working together on several projects, including a VR game, a Star Wars game, and a, quote, new title in the Titanfall franchise. EA announced the acquisition, saying the move builds on a successful publishing partnership already in place between the two companies. Respawn CEO Vince Zampella said the move, quote, brings the resources and support his company needs for its long-term success. We're excited to combine our strengths, he said of the acquisition. In a statement on Respawn site, Zampella said there will be no layoffs or major organization changes at Respawn, and games currently in development are continuing as planned. So it seems like EA have done a trading deal. Mm. They've traded in Visceral and taken in Respawn.
Yeah, the optics on this aren't too good.
I mean, you know, it makes sense in a way because Respawn have been working for EA for fucking years, like primarily, with EA. And, you know, it makes sense. You know, we've worked together for this long. We've been pretty successful, you know, come aboard and, you know. But surely from Respawn's point of view, they've looked at the track record of EA, you know, Mythic and, you know, Visceral and I think Black Frog and Maxis fucking Maxis and heaps more and have gone, fuck, like, I don't know, surely it's good. It's a good thing.
It's great for Respawn. It's great for but Respawn. But it's also horrifying for Respawn.
But, you know, they need to deliver because Titanfall 2 was a fucking awesome game. The multiplayer was so fresh and it had so many new ideas and the single player campaign was actually amazing. It came out in between Battlefield 1 and COD, like right in the middle, and I think that's what did it in, yeah? Because Titanfall 2, I reckon, deserves more notoriety than it actually has because it was a really, really good game. It just came out at a bad time. But being the cynical me, will Titanfall 3 have all these microtransactions and, you know, will EA do to Titanfall 3 what they did to Dead Space 3, which eventually led to Visceral's downfall?
I don't think EA will learn from this giant backlash that people are giving out for Visceral. I think it comes down to, look, it's business. This is part of business and that's how they'll treat it. They're going to treat it emotionally and that's fine. I don't believe it's as simple as we got rid of Visceral so we could buy Respawn.
No, that's just me being
because I think Jason Schreier put up a good thread. Dude, he busts some real good shit. He's a genuine journalist.
Yeah.
You know, about the acquisition, how it's sort of been in the works actually for a while and it's just horrible coincidence.
The timing has happened badly.
Yeah, because like for us, you know, from the average person, it looks super shit.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be as cynical to be like, well, give it 5 years and they'll be gone. But
It hinges very much on Titanfall 3.
My concern is Titanfall 3 won't even happen. Like,
well, it's already in development though.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Both companies were already working together on several projects, including VR, Star Wars, and a new Titanfall game.
Okay. So the Star Wars we already knew about. The VR, I'm pretty sure maybe mentioned at some point. Like, if Star Wars does well, fantastic. It's easy money. It's Star Wars. Yeah. As long as it's not Star Wars Destiny or whatever the hell they're trying to do now, I think that'll do fine.
See, the thing is that the rights to Titanfall is owned by Respawn,
which is now owned by EA.
So does that mean you might be able to tell me this? Does that mean, let's say, Respawn end up either being shut down or let go or, you know, severing ties? Does that Titanfall move with them or does EA keep it?
It depends
now
on the contract.
Okay. Right.
So an example is with IO and Square Enix, right? So
a quick bit of news on that. A new Hitman game is in development from IO. Well done. I'm glad.
It'll all depend on the contract. So when they agree to be acquired by EA, in their contract they would probably state all whatever goes to EA. So depending on that agreement, if they then leave, which is unlikely, if they then get canned, surprise, it's all theirs. You know what I mean? When you buy all their IP, you buy all their things.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. And if they shut the studio down, there's no studio for the IP to go to.
Well, anymore. Well, it depends. Like, you know, like, luckily with IO, as using as still that same example, like, they were lucky enough that Square Enix were like, you take Hitman with you, it's fine.
Yeah, but they didn't shut IO down, they just let them go.
Yeah.
Yeah? Whereas if Respawn actually gets, the studio gets shut down, Respawn no longer exists to own the Titanfall IP, so it will probably default to EA, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
I'm keen for Titanfall 3. I don't really give a dick about the Star Wars game, to be honest.
I'm keen about the Star Wars game. I give a dick about Titanfall.
You know what I do give a dick about?
What?
The Witcher.
Ooh.
This is a little bit sad, but, you know, CD Projekt Red still isn't planning to make a Witcher 4, but that doesn't mean it won't make games set in the same universe. Speaking to Strefa in Westerol, and translated by IGN Poland, CD Projekt CEO Adam Kaczynski explained that while the company sees Geralt's Witcher trilogy as definitively finished, the company still owns the IP, of course. Kaczynski says the company will probably return to the world of The Witcher because both fans and investors will be disappointed if they don't. Now, what other companies in a similar situation? Naughty Dog with Uncharted, similar thing. They've said, you know, Nathan Drake's story is done. And now they're dabbling with the other, like The Lost Legacy, you know. So maybe that's CD Projekt Red's plan, you know, they finished the Geralt story of that universe. Because the game is called The Witcher. It's not you know, Geralt and his friends, you know? So whether they start making side games, you know, on side characters, you know, little adventure like with Ciri, because Ciri's a major character. Similar to what Naughty Dog are doing with
the Uncharted. I want a story about the dwarf blacksmith that I spoke to in the first town. He was like, Scottish one was really fucking pissy at me.
Oh, because some dude burnt down his shit.
Yeah, he was so pissy. Yeah,
I helped him out. We're buds.
Me too. We're good. That was the first. My stepdad, who is like Glaswegian, he ignored fucking everyone. And then he saw that dwarf and was like, what the fuck? And then went straight to me. He's like, yeah, he's like, some burnt. Like, I can't do a Scottish accent. He's like, they burned down my stuff. He's like, how dare they?
Not the dwarves.
Yeah, not the dwarf. And then, Dave, you did everything you could to help that.
Yeah, because that story's like, everyone hates the dwarf because he's making arms for.
Dave liked because he was Scottish.
Yeah, yeah. But it's the key thing with The Witcher is if you dig a bit deeper, the story's really interesting. So the dwarf, everyone in the town hates him because he's making weapons for the Nilfgaard who are invading, yeah? And everyone's like, fucking supporting the enemy, fucking traitor. You talk to him, he's like, yeah, well, they've got like my family and stuff. Yeah. I don't have a choice. It's such a cool thing with The Witcher series. You dig a little bit deeper below surface level and it's like, woo. So yeah, I mean, I'm all for seeing more Geralt. Like, I fucking love Geralt. But yeah, he's such an iconic character.
The big difference comparing to Uncharted as an example, Uncharted is... Well, the Uncharted franchise is to the hands of Sony. If Sony Worldwide Studios, so if they say, hey, we're making another Uncharted, Naughty Dog's like, I don't want to do it. They're like, cool, we're making somebody else do it.
Yeah.
They have that power. CD Projekt Red don't have any boss. Like, there's no one saying, you should make another Witcher. They're like, no.
Yeah,
like,
no, we don't want to right now.
So they're like, hey, we don't want to right now. We're going to make Cyberpunk and then we're going to do something else. And it's like, okay. Yeah. Because, like, we have to because, like, they have that power. Like, yeah, they are independent awesome. Enough to be able to get away with that.
Yeah, so, you know, as excited as I would be for more Witcher games.
Which also means that when it does come back, it will be awesome. It will be thought out.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be, you know, we haven't seen Geralt for like 10 years. We're at the PlayStation 6 now. And it's like, Geralt's back. And as if we haven't talked about COD enough already. We're going to do it again.
Run over this one.
I'll do it quick. COD World of... Run over it quick as I fumble my fucking lines. Call of Duty World War II has sold twice as many units in the first 3 days of release than last year's entry, Infinite Warfare, did in the same period. Activision revealed Sledgehammer Games' new first-person shooter earned over $500 million in 3 days.
Fucking makes sense.
Jesus Christ.
Makes sense. People wanted not space, not duty.
Yeah.
And then they voted with their wallet and they supported that. So fantastic. Really good. Glad people do what they... You know, people are like, we want not a space game.
Yeah. And so...
You didn't do it. Here you go.
The franchise's return to World War II also saw the highest total connected users on current-gen consoles and PC in franchise history, and is now the best-selling digital full game on PS4 on its launch day. Listen to the people, get lots of money.
That's
the key thing here. Number four. Telltale Games, the developers behind, so you know what Telltale is, has announced 25% of its staff has been laid off in a company-wide restructure. The reduction affects 90 staffers across... Oh, hello, Foot.
Hey, Fitz.
Hey, man. All of Telltale's divisions, but are, according to a press release, not going to affect Telltale's already announced slate of games, which includes new seasons of The Walking Dead and The Wolf Among Us. Quote from Telltale, the decision is designed to make company a leader in player-driven narrative games more competitive as a developer and publisher of groundbreaking story-driven gaming experience with an emphasis on high quality in the years ahead. A statement from Telltale reads... Probably see this coming. I mean, Telltale games I've played, The Walking Dead, Tales from the Borderlands, and the Minecraft story mode.
Mm-hmm.
All three of those, fucking amazing. You know, The Walking Dead introduced us to this style of game and really showed us, you know, what Telltale can do, putting, you know, all that kind of stuff. Tales from the Borderlands is the best game they've put out. Cried, I laughed, had a great time with that game. And Minecraft story mode, obviously, for the younger generation, I play through that with my son and we have a great time. Now, the other ones, like Batman, I've heard meh. Guardians of the Galaxy, I've heard meh.
Mm.
What else is there? Game of Thrones was pretty much meh. The worst thing they've ever done. And yeah, it probably see it coming.
Mm.
I know you have an opinion on this.
Well, my opinion comes from a different place. You know, because the whole decision is like, hey, we need to restructure to be able to re-oomph our tech pretty much. It's like, yeah, You do. And they're like, oh, you know, due to a, I think that, I'm thinking about make putting words in their mouth, but like, yeah, due to fluctuation of sales, whatever. It's like, yeah, because your games are broken.
Yeah.
So people don't buy them. Yeah. And like, it sucks. People have to lose their job for this. Like, you, it doesn't, what I don't understand is in order to do more, they need less. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Well, I think they're just about to wrap up the Guardian series.
Unless these are all like writers and stuff that they don't need right now.
Yeah, who knows? Because yeah, I think they're either about to or they did wrap up Guardians. Batman's not far off finishing
season two. Well, season one's done. Season two's underway.
Season two of Minecraft is almost done. So they've nearly finished. And I think The Walking Dead is pretty much done as well, except they've got one more season to go, I think.
Yeah.
So they're getting, coming to the tail end of a lot of their games where they are wrapping them up and finishing them, which I think will give them a bit of a breather period to pull everyone back and go, okay, let's fix our shit. Fuck.
But then you look at all the ones they've done. Now, granted, it's only like five or six, but that, you know, that's five or six, each with five episodes apiece. Over X amount, you know, a lot of these were going on at once. So there was, you know, Walking Dead seasons 1, 2, and 3, The Wolf Among Us, Tales from the Borderlands, Game of Thrones, Batman season 1 and 2,
Minecraft
Story Mode season 1 and 2. I'm sure I've missed another one in there as well.
I think there's one more that we
Guardians of the Galaxy, which I didn't mention, and there's another one as well. But like, they just went way too hard, spread themselves way too thin, and then they showed like the first one or two episodes in each season tend to be schmick, because you know they've had the development time and they're all good. They've never, like, they've very rarely, if never, kept to a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, as in last week when we did the drop and it's like Guardians get episode 5, I'm like, what?
Yeah,
like, didn't that, you know,
it's the whole, you know, buy the season pass and you'll get it when you get it.
Yeah,
at some point.
And like, that's balls. Like, episodic content works when it's structured. Like, here, and here.
Yeah.
Like, granted, I don't understand things change, but like, even when they're struggling to meet that deadline and they don't meet that deadline, they then release episode 5 and it's fucking broken.
Mm.
So it's like, regardless of you not meeting a deadline, it's still broken.
Yeah, I know we're being hard on Telltale, but it's out of love. I do love Telltale games, and you know what I want back from Telltale is that first season of The Walking Dead, which fucking shredded everyone who played it. You know, not a dry eye in the room when it came to the closing of that. You know, I want that. Then it wasn't broken either. It played well. It did exactly what it wanted to do, except there was some save issues at some point.
But that was the technology at the time.
And at the time, it was, you know, groundbreaking. But they haven't evolved with the times. Instead, you know, just spreading themselves thinner and thinner. So. You know, it sucks for those 90 people that got laid off.
Super sucks.
But I think for us as gamers, we will end up on the better side of things eventually.
Keep moving on.
Whatever. Sony has provided an update on what fans can expect from this year's PSX, announcing the date and time of its PSX 2017 presentation and confirming new information will be revealed about Ghost of Tsushima and Dreams? What the fuck? According to a post,
we called it, but
I'm still surprised. According to a quote on the PlayStation blog, early bird ticket holders will have access to Sony's PSX presentation, which will be held at the Anaheim Convention Center on Friday, December 8th, 8 p.m. PT, or for us here in Australia, 2 p.m. Saturday, the 8th of December.
Guess who's getting the live for the players?
Woo! You guys. We'll have to work out the logistics of it, but we'll do it. It'll be fun.
It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, you can do all that stuff. We did, like, this is kind of what I wanted, because when they showed at Paris Games Week the trailer for Ghost of Tsushima, it's like, I'm super interested, but that trailer showed me fucking nothing.
Yeah.
I need to know more. And Dreams, we were like, wasn't at there. If it's not at PSX this year, it's got to be dead. And you know, here it is. That's good. No mention of Days Gone. What's your opinion on that?
Balls!
Or it'll be their big surprise.
Yeah.
Because, well, you'd think they would have held Dreams for that big, you know, but I guess with all the notoriety around Dreams, you know, announcing that, you know, perks people's interests, like, because everyone's expecting to hear more Days Gone, no one's expecting to hear more about Dreams at this point. So I guess, yeah, might be a smart move. But anyway, we'll be live streaming our reactions to the conference,
and we'll steal from another channel, and we'll do a live. We'll live stream the actual
conference
itself. We'll stop the stream, and we'll come back, and we'll do for the post show as the episode.
Yeah, let's do that. That'd be rad. So December 8th. So,
and you guys watch that live too, of course.
Yeah, so obviously December 8th. 1, 2, 3.
It's a month away.
Exactly 1 month away.
I can make some things happen in that time.
Sweet. Third to last, I'll skim through it. You can, in the US store, you can now use trophies to buy shit on from the PlayStation store.
Hey!
100 silver trophies equals 100 points, 25 gold trophies is 250, and 10 platinums is 1,000. As you might expect, the payoff here isn't gigantic. 1,000 points breaks down to 10 bucks of credit. And it's not retroactive with trophies you've already earned in the past. It's a cool incentive for trophy hunters. I was reading online, a lot of the comments were, time to play Telltale games because they're easy platinums, easy and cheap platinums. It's a cool incentive. You know, it's something that it'll be something like, you know, you play your PlayStation for a year and all of a sudden, boom, you got an extra 10 bucks. It's like, oh, fuck yeah. You know, you don't keep track of it, but eventually you'll get something. But it's a lot of trophies you need to get anything worth. You need to both get a general AAA game on the PlayStation Store, you need 100 platinum trophies.
I just realized they mentioned no bronze.
Yeah, no bronze.
Ah, that's good.
Because bronze are like the runner up.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like,
bronze are participation.
You can do what I do and just play a bunch of half games and then get like $8.
Yeah. Right, it's a cool incentive. I hope they expand more on it at some point. But it is in the US only for now. Second last, Take-Two CEO Strauss Zelnick has said that his company, which publishes the likes of GTA 5 and NBA 2K, will aim to offer, quote, recurring consumer spending opportunities. In other words, microtransactions in all of its games going forward. Expected.
Yeah.
It's just a quick one. I mean, you know, Take-Two have been a little bit shitty in the public eye lately, especially when they came down on that website that does mods for GTA 5, mm-hmm. that even Rockstar would look at mods and go, put them on their website blog and be like, guys, get this mod for our game. It's fucking rad. Mm. The developers are like, mods are sick. And Take-Two's like, shut it down. And, you know, it's had mods since launch that the publisher itself, the developer itself has promoted. It's just, you know, Take-Two are the first to come out and actively say it. It was from an investor call they had. But I'm pretty sure, you know, EA and Activision are probably moving in the same direction.
Yeah, look, when GTA Online makes stupid so much money.
$450 million in the last 12
then
months.
Then as a business decision, you're going to be like, let's not do that anymore.
As much as we all hate it, we must be the vocal minority that actively speak out against it, because, you know, when EA and Take-Two and Activision are like, we made $500 million last year from microtransactions, why would they take them out?
Yep.
The only way to stop it happening is en masse, stop buying them, but it will never happen.
Yes.
Ever.
So what needs to happen is pivot microtransactions aren't going away. We just need to ensure that the people that are doing them don't use malicious
microtransactions. Like that pattern Activision had.
Yeah, they're not going away, but let's make them better.
Yeah.
For everybody.
They are a staple in the games industry now, and they will be for an undetermined amount of time. So whether there needs to be some kind of like active like board regulating what can and can't be in there, and what's okay, what's not, how does it affect the rating if you have transactions in there and all that kind of stuff. You know, we're in that middle point now where it's like, okay, it's here, now what? How do we make it make sure that while it's here, it's not being I nearly said the C word. I don't think I've ever said that on this show. Top selling games for the week ending date I didn't put down for the week ending the 5th of November 2017. Starting at number 10, Crash Insane Trilogy. Number 9, Shadow of War. Number 8, South Park The Fractured Butthole. Number 7, GTA 5. Number 6, NBA 2K18. Number 5, Wolfenstein 2. Number 4, FIFA 18. Number 3, GT Sport. Number 2, what I wrote here is Arse Origins. Number 1, Call of Duty World War 2.
No surprises.
So, like, I like it because, you know, 2 months ago I was whinging that it's always the same fucking list. Mm. And now every week there's new ones jumping in, new ones jumping out.
But come a month from now, some people on the list.
Yeah.
I don't... Outside of, like, Shadow of War maybe going off, going off. South Park maybe coming off.
Well, Crash Insane's heading off. It's been up there since it came out.
Yeah.
Not at number one for a lot of weeks. But it's at number 10 now, so it's not far off getting dropped.
Yeah, I think Crash will drop. So in the way it looks for the next month, so Crash will drop out. Battlefront 2 will come in.
Skyrim VR.
Skyrim VR will make Skyrim VR will make a presence, and then it'll bail out again. But like, well, these are the games we'll see on rotate for the next like 2 months, 3 months.
Yeah, exactly. Until we head into
We assume is the early 2018 first party releases.
Monster Hunter Worlds comes out.
God of War, end of March. You heard it here first.
No, you're wrong. It'll be May. I'm going to say it's May. That's it for the news this week. Pretty packed week, really.
Yeah.
We're
so deep into the show already, and all we've done is talk Call of Duty and news.
Last week, when I put the timestamps in, the news finished at like 42 minutes in. The show went for an hour, so the main topic was at like 43 minutes. But hey, it's our show.
Yeah, I had to send an email through to Bethesda, through to Ubisoft, saying, "Hey, thank you for saying."
We talk about it 45 minutes.
We talked about Assassin's Creed Origin at 46 minutes into the show. Thank you.
It's the structure of the show.
That's how it works,
and that's why I'm adding in timestamps from here on.
I need to fast, but I'm not going to. Just thought I'd let it out there because my insights just went. I'm like,
it's like my throat when I started to say the C word.
I was like. I'm on air. I can't fart. I shouldn't fart. It's a hot room. It's not safe
please,
in here.
Please don't. No windows.
So we head into the section where we talk about the main point of interest for the week. It just doesn't have a name.
The main topic. So this is purely speculative topic coming from Ubisoft. I'll read a quick little statement they've made and then go into it from there. The next generation of PlayStation and Xbox hardware is at least a couple of years away. The next generation of PlayStation and Xbox hardware is at least a couple of years away if the thinking of Ubisoft CEO Yves Guillemot proves to be true. Quote, as Sony launches PlayStation 4 Pro last year and Microsoft Xbox One X this year, we think we still have a minimum of 2 years in front of us before something new is coming, he told investors via GameSpot. That's all I want to talk about on that. So, let's just run with the theory here that 2020, you know, mid 2020, early 2020, set the stage for you. E3 2019, PlayStation comes out, got the orchestra again, bigger than ever before, really haunting, dark music, a tune we're not familiar with, never heard before, and then trailer pops up, and it's Death Stranding. And it's like, burr, does all the Death Stranding stuff. People are like, whoa, it's Death Stranding. And then it fades out and goes, for the players, PlayStation 5. How do you react?
I would be like, one, they stole our branding.
We are here by the good grace of Sony, not like infringing on their copyright.
I'm like, I do appreciate that they put our name on the end of that Death Stranding trailer.
And they put hashtag for the players in the post.
Thank you. It'd be very interesting. I think that they'd more likely say coming to the next PlayStation console, and it's like, that'd be gnarly.
Well, here are the questions. There's probably three questions I want to ask. I did reach out to the community for their opinions on these, which I'll get to as well. Thank you to those who commented.
Champions.
2 years, mid-2020, for the next proper gen of consoles. Is it too soon or too late? Well, there's three questions. I want to go one question at a time so we don't kind of get all fired up.
Okay, so what's the first one?
First question is that perfect, too soon, too late?
It's fine.
It's fine.
You got to remember, PS4 launched 2013? Mm-hmm. 2014?
Yep.
That makes it 7 years. That's a console generation. We were very spoiled with PS3. That went 10 years simply because of the financial crisis.
Yeah.
Period. That's like the only reason it went that way.
Yeah.
It's because companies could not afford to take the hardware hit, like the risk and the cost of it. So we were very spoiled. So we have already gone longer. However, longer than the standard generation. However, with the PS4 Pro and what's now the Xbox One X, you think that would extend it, so that may push it a little bit closer to the like the 10-year mark. So having something coming out in 2 years is a bit of a dick move.
Well, that was the next question. How does that make the Pro and Xbox One X users feel? You own a Pro. I don't.
That would make it the Pro be on the market for 4 years, and that would be fine.
See, I'm so at the moment not one for these mid-gen consoles, because I prefer, personally anyway, I prefer that huge leap instead of the little incremental ones. That's why I fell so far behind with PC gaming, is because I made that huge leap, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, and spent $1,500 on a computer and then didn't upgrade it from there. Which fucked me over in the end, because then nothing could be upgraded because it's nearly a decade old, yeah? But I do prefer these massive jumps. And I know Dave, and our PR guy, part of the community, is the same. He prefers that massive leap in one go instead of these little incremental ones. So do you think going forward, these little incremental upgrades we may have, whether it's one in a generation or two, do you think that'll become the norm, or or did we hit a technological benchmark this generation that they had to do something about? Because 4K and 60 FPS is a big thing now, yeah? Yeah. And it happened in the middle of a console generation.
Yeah, I think the sudden big oomph for like Ultra HD did happen right in the middle of the generation. I think with the way the technology is growing and the speed of that, and like the demand for 4K really pushed their hand to make a decision.
Yeah.
Iterative consoles being I personally don't want them to be the future. Depending on sales, that's what's interesting. But an example, you know, the Xbox One X is such a technological leap compared to the Xbox One that it could have been
a new generation.
It could have been, and it probably should have been.
Yeah.
Like, I think Xbox should have had the initiative and like the courage. As you know, like Apple, the courage to remove the fucking headphone jack. The courage to be like, this is next gen.
See, that's the issue I was talking when I made this post on Facebook, on our community group, facebook.com/groups/thepopculturist. Join the conversation. When I was talking to Dave about it in the comments, you know, we pretty much agreed that Xbox have kind of shot themselves in the foot, because they have the One X, which has enough power to literally be next gen, but it's forever held back because of the original Xbox One. You know, you can make a game for the One X and, you know, downscale it, or there's patches, or make it for the One and upscale it. That's all well and fine, but it will never ever be the same as being built ground up solely for a next gen console.
Yeah, so like consoles are different to PC, right? So, you know, a PC, they're like, hey, here's the game and you can play it X amount of thousand different specs and it works. Console, it is a bit more, it could be simpler to scale that way, because there's three versions. There's the Ultra version, which is your One X, then there's your, you know, High, which is your Xbox One S as an example, and then you've got your barely running recommend minimum on your Xbox One. PS4 is kind of the same. PS4 Pro
and Slim.
The Slim is essentially is PS4. Like,
the Slim was improved in
the internal is like identical.
Okay.
It's identical. Like, apart from, like, things got slightly jacked up, like, Wi-Fi. Oh, and okay. But, like, that's it. Like, the innards are the same.
Yeah.
So, I think Sony will make the first push into next gen because they have the luxury to do that, because their next jump would be that.
Because the One X was the chance for... Because Microsoft lost this generation, fucking got annihilated. But people forget so soon that Microsoft fucking annihilated the last generation. They destroyed Sony last year. Sony did well
at the start.
Towards the end it got a bit more fuddled, but for that as a whole, that generation, Microsoft won. And this was this would have been their chance
from a optics perspective, but from like a numbers, PS3 won out in the end, but only because like there were Xbox 360s that were actually like just dying.
Yeah.
Just left in the front.
Yeah. But what my point was is that this could have been Xbox's chance to get that leg up on the next gen, to start strong, start hard, start the next gen, and to kind of maybe turn the tables in their favor a little bit. Whether they're too far behind now to kind of do that is a different question. But, you know, it was their chance and they chose not to take it, which is fine. But yeah, I agree. If they said 2020, we'll get a PS5 in 2020, I'd be like, sweet.
Yeah.
Day one, bye.
See, for you, that's because that would be, you've had 7 years.
Yeah. I've got my OG PS4 at home. Yeah. And I have some issues with it. You know, every now and then it'll randomly eject the disc. I found out why. I can't fix it. But I found a fix for it. What it is...
Just tape the fucking thing.
No, shut. What it is, what I've found, because I did a fair bit of Googling, the eject button, it's rubber, yeah? And what happens is when it gets really hot, the rubber can expand. And so it expands enough to hit the internal board to eject the disc, right?
Ah.
And so one fix was to pull the rubber foot out from underneath it, which I did. But there's still a little bit in there that it broke off. So it's still in there. So what I need to do is grab the console and sit it over the... Like, I've got my drawer and I sit the front of the console just off the edge of the drawer. So yeah, the eject rubber foot isn't touching anything and it stopped the problem as long as I have it sitting out there.
Okay.
But yeah, so if your PS4 is randomly ejecting discs, it can be because the heat makes the rubber eject button expand and push the button. Just one little fact there. But yeah, that'll be a... Well, yeah, it'll be a... seven-year leap for me. Mm-hmm. And that's the big jump for me. And I'm like, fucking sweet, that's cool.
Mm.
Having said that, if my PS4 dies in the next couple of years, do I... I'll probably just buy a Slim, to be honest, because it's cheaper and I'll save myself $200.
But in a couple... If you say in a couple of years, probably cheaper.
Probably be like $350-$400 anyway. Yeah. So I want to go through what the community have said about this.
We'll jump on what they say. Short answer for me, it comes 2020 and they announce a new PlayStation, I'm probably going to buy it. Like, my Pro is fantastic. It's doing great for me.
Yeah.
But, like, that's 4 years. Technology will be a different place then.
Yeah.
And I want to play what cool games come out.
So, Joel says, what does that make of titles we know are likely to be a couple years out? The Last of Us Part 2 and Death Stranding, for example. Do you think that they will come out on the wagging tail of the PS4 or be held to be given the full power of the PS5 for launch titles? If they do, in fact, come out on the PS4 as promised, I'll bet money that they also do the re-release on PS5 as the first year of remasters.
Yep.
That's pretty much exactly what happened with The Last of Us.
Yep, and that's exactly what will happen. So Naughty Dog pretty much released The Last of Us, I'm pretty sure, when the PS4 was out. But they released it on PS3. Like, I'm positive that they're like, the PS3 had come out, so the PS4 had already been out, and they still released it on PS3 because, like, it was like the swan song to the PS3.
Yeah, and it's, you know, Nintendo have done it with the last few gens of Zelda. You know, Twilight Princess was on GameCube, but it was mainly for the Wii. Breath of the Wild is on the Switch, but it was also on the Wii U.
I don't think it would be, hey, it's been on PS4 and PS5. I think it would be along the lines of, hey, this is the last great Naughty Dog game you're going to get on PS4.
And Joel said to follow up, pretty much every big PS3 title from 2013 has come out again on the PS4. And that's because not everyone bought PS3. That's pretty much exactly what will happen.
I don't think that will happen as much now with the PS4 having 70 million consoles in the wild. A lot of the reason they did that for PS3 was, one, they were testing the new hardware, and it was not enough people played these.
Yep.
Like it's surprising that people didn't play Last of Us.
Yeah. Like you.
Yeah. I didn't play it on PS3.
Yeah.
I played it on PS4.
I finished it on PS3 and bought it on PS4. Because you can get it for like $15 now in a sale, which is fucking amazing. Ben says, I feel like it's a race on who is the first to get the new tech out and which one is better. They should really take their time because we all know PC is years ahead on consoles at the moment. That's right. I said it. PC Master Race for life. Thanks, Ben. Well, yeah, it's pretty much it, because as soon as like we saw it with the PS4 and the Xbox One, as soon as they were announced, everyone's like, what are the specs? What's better specs? What's more powerful? And that was all the news, not like, hey, we're getting a sweet new console. It's like, PS4 is 3% more powerful than the Xbox One. Oh, suck it, Xbox, you fucking suck. That was my experience anyway.
Because that's what it wants, right? You want one of the most powerful, because that in theory will last you the longest.
Mm.
And the console generation has shown exactly that.
Yeah.
The PS4 Pro, the PS4 has one iteration, the Pro. Xbox has two. Why? Because the Xbox One, the original, was hot trash.
Yeah.
It barely ran games at 1080. PS4, no worries at all.
Mm.
So they had to release the One S to be able to match what the PS4 can do, and then the Xbox One X is the PS4 Pro Plus.
Yeah.
Like, it can genuinely run games at 4K 60. Mm. Like, it can, like, what I'm finding a lot very interesting X with a lot of the reviews that are coming out for the One X. Now, we didn't get one, obviously, so we don't know what the embargo details are. But there's very limited comparisons with the Pro in these review discussions. Mm-hmm. I'm like, because everything you're saying, the fucking Pro is doing. Yeah. Or Pro has done. But like the Xbox One is doing it slightly better. But no one is able to address the fact that, yeah, it's been done over here, but it's slightly better.
Well, a funny article or video from Digital Foundry was that Titanfall 2 is running better on the Pro than it is on the Xbox One X. Mm. But yeah, it really.
Oh, so I watched Assassin's Creed on Digital Foundry this morning. And they were like, "Yeah, it's noticeably better on the X. Like, it actually runs so it has a dynamic resolution on both. On the PS4, it drops to the lowest at about I think it maxed it out about 1800p or something. Mm-hmm. On the Xbox One X, it'll actually hit up to 2160, and the lowest it'll drop to be about 1440p on the Pro, hits about 1800 at its lowest on One X. So on paper, it's a noticeable difference in terms of percentage-wise. Us as players probably barely notice.
But it's also not just resolution that makes the game look good either.
Yeah.
Which did
HDR is the biggest implementation.
Which Digital Foundry go into all the details and stuff.
HDR is fantastic. Digital Foundry are fucking fantastic.
Dave says, I don't mind paying $1,000 for a console. Did it for the PS2 and PS3.
Sure did.
Give me a legit console capable of running AAA games at 4K 60fps and quit hiding compromised texture, lighting, and shadow effects behind the 4K badge. For sure. Mm. I reckon, you know, 4K and 60fps will be the minimum benchmark for next-gen consoles because right now, like, that's all the rage. Everyone loves it. You know, that's what everyone wants. You know, the majority wants. And in a cut, you know, especially if we're looking at 2020, that should be the minimum benchmark for these consoles. I personally, I've said it many, many times, I'm not fussed on it. It doesn't do anything for me. But if I bought a PS5 and it happened to be 4K and 60fps, cool. I'll fucking take it. Whatever. And Lee came in with quite a big one. A bit angry, I think, too.
No way.
Thanks, Lee. I don't see it. This is this is in response to Joel about the games, you know, crossing the generational gap. Lee says, I don't see it happening, or if it does release under the PS5 banner, I still expect it to very much be a part of the PS4 ecosystem, similar to yet another Pro. Oh, this is for the actual console itself. There was nothing stopping Sony and Microsoft releasing the Pro and Xbox One X under new names numbers. They're essentially like every other next-gen console, objectively faster. So what changed this time? I think they're realizing people don't want to scrap their entire game collection in lieu of new and faster. I think it's going to be very PC-orientated going forward with new iterations of the same infrastructure. See, I like that idea. And he touches on a point that gets me too, is that I don't like giving up entire libraries of games because of, for whatever reason, the lack of backwards compatibility we've had this gen. You know, Microsoft has done good work working on it slowly. You know, a lot of their games are backwards compatible. Sony just doesn't do it. They, you know, remaster instead of make them backwards compatible. So it is a good point, is that, you know, instead of it being labeled, you know, PS5 and Xbox One X2 or whatever the fuck they're going to call it, you know, just the PlayStation and the Xbox, and, you know, new iterations of the same infrastructure so you can play everything you've spent all this money
on. I don't think they can call it the PlayStation, because if they were to call it the PlayStation, then it would never change. That's the whole point of the name. Like, this is the definitive version of the PlayStation. I think it would be the, you know, PlayStation something. Like, not maybe not 5, but something.
Does it look like I'm not wearing any shorts in the camera?
Looks like you're a little bit naked, yeah. So I think he has a point in terms of, you know, they could have made this next generation, but I don't think the leap was enough. As we said, the One X is, what's the other point?
The One X is arguably enough to be the leap.
Yeah, so One X, as you mentioned, One X, they put themselves in a tough spot by calling it an Xbox One X. Mm. So as you said, the downside is, They're making Xbox One games that are fancy. What they should make is have an Xbox. Like, what they should make a PlayStation 5. So when people make games, they make games for the PlayStation 5. Mm-hmm. But that PlayStation 5 can play PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
So you don't make a souped up PS4. You make a PS5 that can play PS4.
And, you know, that's
how it should be done.
Yeah.
So Xbox are going the completely wrong way of Xbox One improvements. Like, you know, you make a new Xbox that can play old Xbox. That's
pretty much
the
reason
work.
I haven't played Red Dead Redemption is I missed it at the time it was current on PS3. Can't play it on PS4 because and can't read the fucking disc, and I'm not going to pull out my PS3 and plug it in and do all of that to play one game. If I could throw the game into the PS4 and play it, I'd finish it.
Yeah, the PS3 controller is really fucking hard to use now.
Yeah, they're really garbage. So they're really light.
It's so small.
They're so light. Mm. But yeah, I mean, I would just love for the next gen. I want to be able to play everything I've bought this, because I've spent thousands on games this gen. I'd need to be able to play it on the same console. Like, that's my dream anyway.
Yeah, so it's a make it PS5.
Because then what happens to the games like Rocket League come out on PS5? You know, the people that Diamond plays, you know, it'll be tied to their account. But what if do they have to buy Rocket League again to be able to play on the latest gen of consoles? Or can they just backwards play Rocket League because it's been optimized for, I don't know. Big complicated thing. Yeah. I want to know what
everyone...
All you
do is you just, you using the power of backwards compatibility, you buy a PS5. And then you just install it.
You just go to the PS Store and re-download it.
Yeah, that's it.
And maybe it's got a PS5 patch.
Yeah, that's it. That's how it fucking works. Yeah, done.
Please do that.
Because
Sony.
Like the benefit of the it's going with what Lee said, as in they are becoming more like PCs. Yeah, they are. So as a result, their innards are more easy to work with. Like with the PS3 and its cell processor, for some reason they made that stupidly difficult to. Mm. But now, with a PS4 and a PS4 and an Xbox, they're relatively similar on the insides,
yeah.
Right? So, that's where, it makes sense. Like, just fucking make it better and then make it play better. So, what's the one thing that you would like to see change in the next gen?
You know how we were playing COD last night? It's like, let's party up. Let's fucking do this together. Yeah. It's like, okay, go to the social tab, go to your name, invite you, take me out of the game, send you the invitation to go back into the game. So you can leave the game to accept the... I know you can push the PS button when it pops up.
Yeah, we're so used to not using
the dash. You leave the game so you can join my party. Then it puts you back in the game. Seamlessly put it all in. Yeah. Just join party in the game. I don't have to be a party on the PlayStation. Just make me a party in whatever fucking game I'm playing.
Mm.
Like, that's just a little minor gripe that really fucking bugs me. Is every time I want to party with someone, I'm going to leave the game and go through the PlayStation to join a party with someone instead of just partying with a friend in whatever game we happen to be playing. So work that in somehow. I'm easy. Like, I'm happy with what we've got now, and I don't really think too far ahead. I prefer features to be pitched to me and me go, I like that, instead of me pitching features.
Yeah. Well, mine's dead simple.
And the backwards compatibility, of course.
Mine is dead simple. As in, we're going to start hitting a point with resolution, we're going to start getting diminishing returns.
Mm.
As in, standard def to high def, holy shit. HD to ultra HD. It's pretty I think it's like, oh, okay, cool, but the benefits of HDR is what's changing. So that's HDR is the wow, right?
Yeah.
So because when you've come over here, you've just seen my TV and you're like, oh, it looks really cool, but you need to see what HDR with and without HDR, like the differences.
Well, that's the only way I notice differences, when they're side by side.
Yeah.
If I play Assassin's Creed here and then I go home and I play Assassin's Creed, to me it looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
Because I'm not seeing them side by side. And that's where I don't see the benefit.
Yeah, so I think we're going to hit a point where the resolution gets to diminishing returns. What this is the one thing that fucking baffles me about the Xbox One X is they're like, hey, it has a fucking stupid high GPU. Like, that's cool, but the bottleneck is the CPU. It's the same 8 core Jaguar. Granted, it's clocked at it's a higher... higher gigahertz, whatever the fuck it is, it runs faster, but it's the same CPU. Like, we're gonna hit a point where GPU, GPU will increase, but it'd be like the 8K gaming is not coming anytime soon. So then in PS5 we get 4K, but with the CPU and RAM that it makes it possible to run at 60 frames. Mm. You know, because the resolution isn't entirely what runs at the frame rate. That's CPU. So that's the computing power.
Mm.
So like, it goes, okay, cool. Well, the computing, the graphics makes it look super pretty, but the actual system itself needs to be able to make it run at 60 frames. That's where the benchmark, that needs to bring up and balance out. So it's going to cost more because CPU is fucking expensive, but that would be the advantage. Mm-hmm. Like, people keep making the graphic leaps are great, but also unnecessary when your computer is not powerful enough to pump out those graphics.
That's all we want to say about it. But what do you guys want out of the next gen? Do you think it's too soon? Do you think it's too far away? Please drop us a comment below, or jump and join in the Facebook community. Have a chat with us about it. Always up for talking the games.
It's what game? Well, that was a little. Then talk about the generations and what games are. That's way, way down the line. These are what. These are the things that are coming to your PlayStation this week in a section we called Coming to the Place.
New releases for the week of November 17, 2017. Stop me if you want to talk about something. Ashes Cricket, PS4 Digital. ATV Drift and Tricks, PS4 Digital. Ben 10, PS4 Digital and Retail.
Was that already out?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know what happened with that. Cat Quest, PS4 Digital. Da Blob, PS4 Digital. Demon Gaze 2, PS4, PS Vita, Digital and Retail. The Elder Scrolls 5, Skyrim VR, PS VR. Digital and Retail out on the 17th.
Yeah. I've reached out to Bethesda, so I want to have some fun with it. Apparently, they have added to... I don't know if we talked about it previously with the Move controllers, how it was all very teleporty. They have... altered that in some way, so they've sort of got around the analog sticks by when you want to move, you hold the move button in the middle of the controller and you tilt it forward, and that'll bring you forward.
That's better.
And then on the right stick, you use the, cause you know, it's the move button and the four symbols, and then you use the two on the side to swivel. So it won't be as seamless as a thumbstick, but it's a good in the interim.
Take a while to wrap your head around.
It'll take a little bit, but like apparently it's as not as motion puking as
I'm glad they're listening to the feedback from the teleporty and change that. Good on you.
But well, so the teleporty's still there if you want to.
Oh, is it?
But that's the the intermediate, and then you can play with the full blown controller if you wanted to. We'll reach out, and if we all goes well, we'll be streaming the F out of that game, because hell's yeah.
Yeah. Far From Noise,
I want to see you fight a dragon.
Really. Digital. How long it takes to get to a dragon?
I'll play for a little bit more. I get the bump forward to get a dragon.
Knights of Valor, PS4 Digital. L.A. Noire, PS4 Digital. Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2, PS4 Digital and Retail. Outcast Second Contact, PS4 Digital and Retail. Road Rage, PS4 Digital and Retail. I remember that game.
Yeah.
School Girl / Zombie Hunter, PS4 Digital and Retail. The Sims 4, PS4 Digital and Retail.
Totally forgot about Sims.
Yeah.
I'll have to make an email.
Enjoy the power to create and control people in a virtual world where there are no rules. Be powerful and free, have fun and play with life, and just fucking murder people.
That'll be good for about like 2 hours and I get bored.
Yeah. Star Wars Battlefront 2, PS4 Digital and Retail.
I'm so excited and also so apathetic at the same time. I don't know.
Embark on an endless Star Wars action experience from the best-selling franchise. Rush through waves of enemies on Starkiller Base. Line up your X-Wing squadron from an attack on a mammoth First Order Star Destroyer in space. Or rise as a new hero, Iden, an elite Imperial Special Forces officer, and discover an emotional and gripping single-player story spanning 30 years.
I think I was so keen for Battlefront 1, and I got it, and then I was like, hey!
Then you're like, come play. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, like no one else had it. I think that's probably
maybe. Issue. I don't know. Star Wars Battlefront 1 had a lot of problems. It'd be interesting to see if they've all been worked out. People wanted the campaign. They got a campaign. People complained the campaign wasn't long enough, but I'm sure the 5-hour good campaign will be better than a 30-hour shit campaign. Can't believe I didn't stumble that.
That's like a little bit of busting rhymes there.
Tokyo Tattoo Girls, PS4, Vita, what? Digital and Retail.
I don't like that
cover at all. It's time to show off that ink. Enter the world of Tokyo Tattoo Girls, where you will select a companion girl and battle the syndicate by conquering the 23 wards of Tokyo. Power up your companion with gorgeous Japanese tattoos and unleash her true power. She looks like she's like 12 on this cover. It makes me uncomfortable.
She's not old enough to get the tattoos.
VA-11, Hell-A, in other words, Valhalla, PS Vita Digital.
That's a dumb name.
Cyberpunk bartender action, booze them up.
Dumb.
Wait. I want to read this without you saying it. Cyberpunk bartender action is a boozem up about waifus, technology, and post-dystopia life. It actually says that.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it for the drop.
Anyway, as always, that brings us to the end of this week's episode of For The Players.
If you enjoyed this super long episode of For The...
The Call of Duty.
If you enjoyed that super long conversation, you can join in many more every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, iTunes, and other podcast services. But how do you join that conversation? Head over to www.thepopculturist.com/questions. Give us your questions, thoughts, and suggestions for the show. If a week between shows is a little bit too long, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, and consider joining us on Patreon. Check out the tiers there. There might be something there that interests you.
Oh, man, I'm totally having party pies for lunch. Fuck yeah. I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was For The Players.
Yes. I want party pies.
Want some party pies?
No.